And so this morning we are going to look at a personality by the name of Isaac. And this Isaac fellow is one of the patriarchs. So in as much as we are going to talk about Isaac, but we are also going to look a little bit at Abraham and Jacob and Joseph. And the way we are going to speak about this is as follows. We will give a little bit of introduction so that we locate ourselves within the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And we are going to look at this guy's name, whether there is any significance to his name. We're going to look at his character, what kind of a person he was. And then we're going to look at his faith. And the question we'll be asking really is, why is this guy in this hall of fame of people that we are supposed to look to as heroes of faith? And we will land with application. So we'll do a little bit of background. We'll look at this guy's name and character. We'll look at his faith and how God tested it. And we will apply it to our lives. And so can we just turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and read from verse 17. It reads as follows. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. And so, Father, as we come to your word, we pray for your grace. We pray that you would cause faith to arise in our hearts, because faith comes from hearing your very words. We pray that you would encourage us as individuals, but also corporately as a church. We pray this in Jesus' name, our Lord. Amen. And amen. So let us kick off by just giving a little bit of introduction concerning this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. You will remember that Paul is talking about the history of the Jewish people, and the key figure in the history and the nation of Israel is a guy by the name of Abraham. And in chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 3, we are told that God called Abraham, and that God gave him a promise. And really it was a threefold promise. The promise that God had given to him was the promise concerning the land, that he was going to give him the land and his descendants, and that he was going to bless him. And number three, that he was going to become a blessing. And then we see that God confirms this very calling, what is called the Abrahamic covenant. God confirms it with Isaac, saying almost word for word exactly what he had promised Abraham. And we find that in Genesis chapter 26, verse 3 to 5. And then that same covenant is again confirmed with Jacob. And so the book of Hebrews is naming some of these figures in this lineage of faith. And it's telling us about the enduring faith of the patriarchs. And then from verse 4, it tells us about faith where Abel is concerned. It tells us about his life of faith. And then verse 5 tells us about Enoch and his walk of faith. And then verse 7 tells us about Noah and his work of faith. And then Abraham is the example of faith. And then it comes to these patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and it tells us about the triumph of their faith. And so it is very interesting when you look at these guys, it's actually very difficult to preach from this character of Isaac. You realize that Isaac, of all the patriarchs, he lived the longest. He lived about 180 years. But when you look at the book of Genesis, you find the least recorded about Isaac. He seems to have been, and I'm running ahead of myself here, but he seems to be an underwhelming kind of character. A kind of guy that you look at and you say, how did this guy's name make it in the Hall of Fame? There's almost nothing to say about him. And the little bit that is said about him seems to be almost a criticism of him. It's not really something that we are to look up to. But when we do look at the patriarchs, we do see that these are people who had the promises of God on their lives and who ordered their lives almost completely in line with God's promises over their lives. And I hope we're going to see that as we look at a few verses from the book of Genesis. Let's now come to Isaac and look at his name and his character. This is another thing that is really peculiar about him. Most characters in the Bible, their names are very, very significant. For instance, his brother, his half-brother, who was 13 years his senior, his name is Ishmael. And the word Ishmael means God hears. So it's a powerful name. In fact, in the Old Testament, when you see any name that ends with E-L, that E-L is the name of God, Elohim. And so you know that that name somehow has got to do with God. And Ishmael means God hears. But then what does Isaac's name mean? And you'll be interested to find that his name means laughter. Nothing spiritual about that. And when you look at the context and you ask yourself, why was his name called laughter? Again, in a sense, you're going to find almost a lousy story of failure in faith. But yet God in his wisdom sees it fit to record it. Because in a sense he's saying to you and me that if this guy can make it into the Hall of Fame, then so can you. With all of your misgivings, with all of your mistakes, with all of your character flaws, somehow if you will look to God, you too can make it into the Hall of Fame. We find in Genesis chapter 18, in fact, let me start with chapter 17. If we have time, I might just read the scriptures. But God appears to Abraham, and he says to him, Abraham, remember that God had come to him when he was 75 years old, and he had already given up, saying, I'm never, ever going to have children. That's the first time that God appeared to him and said to him, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you land. Your descendants will be like the stars. And so that he would look at the stars at night and just be encouraged in faith. And during the day, God said to him, your descendants will be like the sand in the seashores. And so every time he would see the sand, he would be encouraged in faith. And 25 long years later, or rather 24 years later, this guy still hasn't seen God's promises in his life. And then God appears to him and says to him, Abraham, I am going to give you a son. And at that time, already Ishmael was born, and he was about 13 years old. And you know what his response was? He laughed. The only difference between him and Sarah is that Sarah laughed out loud later on. He laughed to him, but it's recorded for us in Genesis chapter 17 that this guy laughed. And then he said to God, God, may Ishmael be before you. In other words, he's saying, I'm hearing you about a child that I'm going to have. You told me 24 years ago. It never happened. We made a plan, my wife and I, and we had Ishmael. And he's basically saying, this is not going to happen. It's too good for me. And he says, may Ishmael walk before you. He's given up. And he's saying, that's all I have faith for is for what I have made plans to try to make this thing happen. And then a chapter later, in chapter 18, God appears to him again. And this time, God appears to him in the form of three guys who walked on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he recognizes that this is God. And he says to these guys are saying, we are on our way. And he says, please, hang on. Let's sit under this tree in Mamre. And he says, I'm going to quickly organize a meal for you. Somehow he knew this is God. And he went to Sarah, said, please, just make something quickly, some bread. Ran into the crowd, grabbed a lamb, said to his servant, please slaughter it, prepare food quickly. And he runs back to these guys, presents a meal to them, and they see that this guy can see us. And God says to him, in the form of one of these guys, he says, I'm going to give you a son. And this time God says to him, it is next year this time you shall be with child. And the scriptures tells us that Sarah was outside of the house, the door, and she heard this, and her response was laughter. And this laughter, she burst out laughing. And God said to Abraham, did your wife just laugh? And he confronted Sarah, and Sarah said, I didn't laugh. And God says to her, you did laugh. Wanted it to be recorded for us in the scriptures that she did laugh. And then this question, powerful question, is there anything too hard for God? And this is the question that you and I have to answer over and over and over again in our lives when we think our lives are backed into a corner and we think God is not going to be able to get us out of this one. And so because of the story of laughter, eventually when it did happen, it's recorded for us in Genesis chapter 21, they called this son laughter. And Edmund Clowney says, in Isaac, we hear a laughter of God's triumphant grace. This was grace. This was an impossibility where these guys are concerned. It seems like God backed them into the corner until they realized we can't make this one happen. And only when they came to that place, God shows up and he gives them this laughter because of his goodness to them. But then let's look at the character. His name is Laughter. But what is the character? What is this guy like? And that's where you're going to say, come on. How is it that this guy's name is recorded as a hero of faith? Let's read from chapter 27, from verse 1. Let me just tell you what you're going to find as we read. We are going to find a guy who is, as it were, ruled by his appetite. This is almost a carnal guy. We are going to find a guy who is a coward. We are going to find weakness. We are going to find a liar. And in the midst and despite all of these things, he is a hero of faith. And I will come there to back to that later. Why is it that he's recorded for us? But first, let's look at his flaws. It says for us in chapter 27, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered, here I am. He said, behold, I'm old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food. And I want you to underline the words me and I in this thing. Let me read again from verse 2. He said, behold, I'm old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out into the field and hunt the game for me. and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. And so I want to remind you that God had said to this guy when his wife was pregnant with twins, Jacob and Esau, God had said to him, the older one is going to serve the younger one. And Jacob was the younger. But somehow he just loved the older guy. And the reason why he loved Esau is because Esau was a great hunter and he loved some steak. And so he says, because of my particular needs, I'm going to ignore what God has said and I'm going to put my focus on this guy because he blesses me. Very selfish, self-centered kind of figure. And if you really think about it, he died when he was 180 years. And so when he spoke these words, it was about 43 years before his death. So I look at it and I say, you just wanted steak, man. There is no such a thing as I'm about to die. So he's just an earthy kind of guy, and he wants his food. Verse 5 says, now Rebecca was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebecca said to her son Jacob, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food, that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord, before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 good young goats, so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies. But Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him, and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. His mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me. So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebecca took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skin of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, my father, he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to the father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, so that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He answered, because the Lord your God granted me success. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy, like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, are you really my son Esau? He answered, I am. Then he said, bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near to him and he ate and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, see the smell of my son, as is the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be anyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. And the story continues. And so we see here that this is really a very, very lousy guy. He lies, and not only lies about himself and based on what his mother had said to him, but he also lies in God's name. When the father says to him, "Why is it that you've managed to hunt so quickly, my son?" He says, "The Lord your God granted me success. And that's why I'm here giving you." He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a weak character indeed. And when we look, I wanted to read some other story, but because of time, I will just relate the story to you. Another thing when you look at his character is that he took his wife and moved, and God had said to him, "Don't, whatever you do, don't go into Egypt." But he went to a town very near to Egypt. It's almost as if he's saying, "Do you want me not to cross this line?" And so he comes as close as possible to the line. And when he got there, because his wife was beautiful, and this was the land of the Philistines, he said to himself, "Because Abimelech might like my wife and want to marry my wife, if I tell them that she's my wife, they're going to kill me and take her." So he says to his wife, "When these guys ask you who you are, tell them that you are my sister and I'm your brother." So again, we see lies. And these lies are actually generational, because his own father, Abraham, had done exactly the same thing twice. And I was looking at this and I'm thinking, how lousy is this? This guy is saying to his wife, "Let's go in there so that these guys don't kill me. You must say that you're my sister. Whatever they do to you, I don't care. They may take you, they may sleep with you. I don't care. As long as I don't get killed, I'm okay." This is a very, very lousy character. And he is found out eventually. This Abimelech saw him, this version, the ESV says he saw them laughing. Another version says he saw him caressing her. This was a little bit more sensual than just laughing. So Abimelech says, "This is not your sister. You don't behave like that with a sister." And so he says, "I'm very, very sorry. I was afraid you're going to kill me, so I lied to you concerning her. She's actually my wife." So he's found, this is a lousy character. And so the question comes back to us. How does a guy like this make it into the Hall of Fame? And this leads us to our next question, the test of faith. Number one, you will see that despite his weaknesses, this guy did one thing. For some reason, it seems like to me like all the patriarchs had some trouble conceiving. Abraham, Sarah was not able to conceive until God supernaturally came. But it seems like this guy as well, his wife Rebecca, battled for 20 years. She couldn't have a child. But after 20 years, he called on God. Scripture tells us that he came to the Lord and said, "God, please bless us with a child." And God heard that prayer. And that is significant because the blessing that was given to his father Abraham was a generational blessing. It was something that was only going to be fulfilled ultimately in the seed, which is Christ. But these blessings had to be passed on from generation to generation. And so he realized the promises of God are going to fail if I don't have a child. So this wasn't just another prayer for a child. This was a significant word. And he was doing war over the promises of God over his life. And that shows there was a spark of faith inside this gentleman. So he called on God and God came through. You'll find that in chapter 25, verse 21. And the second thing that we see here that is a model of faith for us is that it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, it says to us that he conferred future blessings. Did you see that verse? It says Isaac, when he was old, he conferred future blessings on his son Jacob, even though he had to be tricked to do that. You see in the later chapter that he seems to have been convicted of God because he actually blessed him the second time. This time he was realizing God's prophetic promise over his life. And he said, I'm going to bless you. This is the promises that God has given to us. When he pronounced these blessings of land, of blessings and of being a blessing to his son, he had absolutely nothing fulfilled of those promises. The only piece of land they had was the land on which they were going to bury Abraham and the rest of the patriarchs. They bought only that piece of real estate for burial purposes. But he said to himself, God is going to give us this land. And so I am conferring it upon you prophetically because I know that it is going to happen. Beloveds, I want to say to us that the greatest test of faith for you and for me is really at our point of death. What kind of a death are you going to die? And what is going to be in your heart when you are facing death? When this guy was really old, was about to die, and he saw that God's promises over his life had not been fulfilled, he did not die in despair. He looked into the future and he trusted him who had promised. The faith was not in his own capacity. It was in God who had promised. He was able to give those future blessings on his son. And that says something. Despite his mistakes, it tells us something about this guy, that he was prepared to trust God. He did not despair because of unfulfilled promises, but he hoped in what God had promised, that God was able to fulfill. My question to you is, what is God's promise over your life? And at what chapter of your life are you in? It's very helpful to look at life in chapters. Sometimes we are almost in the introduction phases if you are children. And then you begin to grow older. And as you grow older, you realize, I'm going to what's the conclusion of my life. It's a reality that we have to face. And sometimes as the clock ticks, at the moment I'm told that the life expectancy in South Africa is about 61 years old. It's a little bit higher for women. For some reason, women live older than guys. I don't know what that reason is. And so if you are pushing 60, you need to realize that you are coming towards the conclusion. God may give you extra years. I'm not pronouncing anything negative over your life. I'm just saying to you, we need to do an appraisal of our lives. And we need to look at God's promises. What has God said to me? What has God promised me? And if you see that some of God's promises in your life have been fulfilled, and some of God's promises in your life have not been fulfilled, it may well be that you are a link in a chain of destiny. God might want you to pass on some of the promises that He's given to you to future generations. Do not despair because of your age. Press on in God. And I want to say to you that age can be one of those things that really tests you. And if you are not careful, you will become discouraged and grumpy because you might say, God has promised, but I haven't seen the fulfillment of the promises. Isaac didn't despair. He realized In fact, later on it says, they knew all of these heroes of faith died having not accomplished what God had promised. And they understood that God was going to bring the fulfillment much later on. And they didn't die as failures. They greeted the days from afar, scriptures tells us. And they died in faith. And you see, even later on, Jacob himself did the same thing. He not only blessed his 12 sons, but in particular, he blessed not only Joseph, but the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, because God had adopted them into becoming part of the nation of Israel. And he said to this, Joseph said to these guys, this is going to happen. God is going to give us land, not here in Egypt, where I'm a big shot, but in Canaan. God is going to bring those words to pass. And he says, and when I'm dead, I want you to promise me that you're going to take my bones, because my bones must be buried in the land that God had given to us. This is faith. And God commends this to us. And he says, will you be people of faith despite your circumstances? Despite your character flaws and weaknesses, will you trust in God? What is the application of this in our lives? Number one, I want to say to us, God's purposes will stand. This is how these guys reasoned. They considered him faithful who had promised. And they said, we may not be seeing it in our lifetime, but we know that God is a truthful God. He will bring it to pass. And they considered him. That's what separates these guys. Number two, just on a practical level, I want to encourage parents and grandparents amongst us. Let's learn to bless our children, to lay hands on them, to speak well to them, to remind them of God's callings. There are certain things that maybe God has spoken to you prophetically. Pass these wonderful things to your children by speaking words to them that God has spoken to you. God may not have spoken to them, but he's spoken to you. Pass that on and bless it. I love the story of Jacob when he blessed those two sons of Joseph. When he conferred on them spiritual blessings. Just think about this. He didn't confer on them material blessings. This can you just imagine Joseph? He's a big shot in Egypt. He's got these two sons who are highly privileged. And what does the father say when he lays his hands on them? He speaks blessings that are consistent with the Abrahamic covenant on them. He doesn't say anything about Egypt. He could have said, bless them and cause them to be big shots like their father here in Egypt. But he looked beyond that. And he looked into what God had promised. And he crossed his hands and blessed these guys. Thirdly, God is sovereign in assigning different gifts and places to his children, both material gifts and spiritual gifts. God is sovereign. And in the case of all these characters, he moved them all over the place, including blessing them even in the land of Egypt, even though it was temporary. And God blessed them not only spiritually, but also God blessed them materially. But God was sovereign over that. And I want to say to us, hold on to God's promises over your life. Look at this character, Isaac, weak and human as you and I are, and be encouraged to wrestle over what God has promised you. Do not despair. Even in the moment of weakness, even when you see life passing, realize that God is bigger than us, and he knows just how to bring these things to pass in our lives.